Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio. I'm Laurie Lawson, and joining me is the always fantastic.
Thanks, Laurie. Bernie Single here, calling in from the Catskill Mountains.
Yes, where he's telling me it's kind of chilly, and I'm telling him it's really nice where I am in New York City for a change. But that's okay. We're all together, and we'll see where our guest is. I know our guest is calling in from down south, I think. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We at Coach Chat think if you change your perspective, you can change your life. We developed this show for coaches or those interested in the fastest-growing profession in the world today. And we hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches, and they share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And boy, do we have a winner today, Darcy Eichenberg. Darcy, thanks for being on Coach Chat.
Hello. I'm so glad to chat with great coaches.
We're glad to have you as one of them. Let me tell you a little bit about this lady. I could do the whole show just telling you her credentials, but I'm not going to do that. Darcy is a leadership coach. She's a speaker and an author. She's got two books out there. Her original was Bring Your Superpowers to Work, and now she has something called Red Cape Rescue, and she'll tell us all about that. She's an official member of Forbes Coaches Council, and I just found this out, that she was the president of Georgia's ICF in 2011.
Wow.
So we all have something in common. Bernie was the president before me, then I was the president, and Darcy was the president around about the same time. So they've all been
That's right.
Down. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we learn a lot from our ICF days and our ICF volunteer work.
Right.
You know what? It was rewarding. If anybody, whoever's done it knows, it was a lot of work, but it was also very rewarding. So, and we get to meet cool people like you, so that's good. So we're going to get started and just find out. Thank you so much for being on and find out all about you. So, Bernie, you want to take the first question?
Sure, happy to. And welcome to the show. Where are you calling in from, by the way, Darcy?
I'm actually warmer than where you are, where Lori is in New York City. I'm in Bonita Springs, Florida. So it is about 80 degrees today, so it's super nice. But I've been inside all day, so.
Air conditioning, that's the usual there. our listeners, we're told, like to know a little bit about our guest's journey as to how they got to where they are today, doing what they're doing. So we'd love to hear, briefly, what was your journey to becoming, Coach Darcy, as I see on your website?
Yeah, well, I was a principal at a large HR consulting firm, and as I talk about sometimes, that everything was good on paper, right? I loved the people that I worked with. I worked on cool clients. I worked for a great company that had just great people around me, and there came a point where something just wasn't right. And then I had a turning point when my boss announced that she was going to retire. And I realized I wasn't getting her job. And so if I wasn't getting the next job up, what was next for me? And no one had ever taught me how to navigate that. I had just always kind of followed the next thread. And every 3 or 4 years or so, I got a promotion or I moved to a different city. But suddenly I was like, what's next for me? So that's when I hired my first coach. And I had no intention of hiring a coach to think about being a coach. But one of the things it revealed to me, it got me connected with ICF, got me connected with people around the world who were professional coaches, and led me to actually creating an internal coaching program right where I was in my consulting firm. And through that, I decided, well, if I was going to jump and put my feet in this business 100%, I would do that. So that's about 13 years ago, and haven't looked back since. It's been a great ride.
Wow, it's just similar to, I think, Laurie and myself, as she said, and getting involved with the ICF had so many ramifications that we never knew would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was always the advice of my dad. If you're going to be a professional, if you're going to be a professional, get involved with the professionals, and that's what ICF was for me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what brought us all there at the time, but it was just like, yeah, you're right. It definitely, I wonder if our coaching careers would have continued in the manner that they did without the ICF involvement. So kudos to ICF for coming up with three cool coaches at least. Tell me about Red Cape Revolution. What the heck is that, and how'd you come up with that?
Yeah, well, you know, you used the term Coach Darcy, and it was funny. When I was starting my business, one of the best pieces of advice that I got was don't waste a lot of time coming up with the perfect name. You know, that find just something to be able to start your business, to set up all your financial parts, and just that the website was available. And CoachDarcy.com was there, available, and so that got me moving forward. A few years later, I realized I wanted to build more of a distinct brand, and that's where the idea of Red Cape Revolution came from. And the concept behind it is remembering when you were a kid, and you grab a towel or a sheet, and you throw it around your shoulders, and you felt confident. You felt like you were in control. And what if you could feel that way every day in your life at work? So that really is the center of a lot of the work that we do, how you can take back control, how you can feel confident again, even when so much is changing in our world. So that's really the idea behind Red Cape Revolution.
I'm just thinking as you're saying that, what are maybe two or three tips that you can give us based on what you discussed in the book?
Well, I think the big overriding theme of a lot of my work and of the latest book, Red Cape Rescue, which the subtitle is Save Your Career Without Leaving Your Job, is that we have more control than we think. And we only control three things. We control everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. And that's it. But in the end, it's enough. But I find that very often, no matter what we're doing, if we're coaches running our own business or if we're working with clients or we're thinking about becoming a coach, that we often think that some things are not in our control. But if we think about how we change our thoughts or how we can adjust what we say or do different things, we can really take more of that control back and create the life at work that we want for our life. And that's really one of the biggest lessons in pretty much everything that I do.
Mm-hmm. What lessons have you adapted and altered and created as far as business goes? Because I know you do a lot of leadership coaching and things like that. Mm-hmm. And what changes have you made in the last couple of years as to what you're telling businesses and how you're helping businesses create goals?
Yeah, well, I think for goals in particular, I kind of don't believe in goals anymore. That's going to sound a little heresy, but I feel like when we set such rigid goals, we set ourselves up for failure. And there's really good research that talks about we need to feel a sense of progress in our work. But sometimes the only way we measure progress is by the finish line as opposed to the little things every day. So often when I'm working with businesses and individuals in that business who want to feel like they're succeeding, we break it down to what's directional for you. You know, what are the things that align with your values? What is that longer-term vision? Because the truth is that we may not know. None of us could write our career path going forward, right? We all write it going backwards. I never knew that, you know, the different choices that I made would turn into the business that I have. I'm sure that probably sounds familiar for you guys too, right?
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think that one of the most important things is stop being so tied to specific goals and milestones and really get clear on what is directionally focused for you. And that means really getting clear on your values. You know, what are the things that are important to you that you're not going to compromise on? And I think once you're clear on those things, it's easier to make decisions that stay in alignment as opposed to being tempted by all the noise from everywhere else that says, oh, you should do this, you should do that. And coaches, especially people starting coaching businesses, I see this happen a lot where it's like, oh, well, you know, here's the bright, shiny thing that you should do that's the magic wand for marketing, and that's where hundreds of clients are going to come to your door. It's like, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's what's the right for you, and how do you do things consistently over time that that create the more the direction that you want.
Dusty, I was looking at your website, and actually, to me, it's fun. I was looking through your blogs and going through a couple that I thought were really terrific, and one of them was, how does someone know if a coach would benefit them? And, you know, we're so involved with coaching, we know how wonderful it is, but the average person has no clue. You know, if you ask them what a coach is, they would just say, they tell me what to do. So that's the question I have, is the blog addressed it. How does someone know if a coach would benefit them?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Sometimes people will say, well, Darcy, who's your biggest competition? And I often say my biggest competition is my potential client, because the kinds of people that I work with, like you and a lot of the coaches listening, are smart professionals who are the ones who always figure it out. And they're beating themselves up and saying to themselves, oh, well, I should be able to figure this out, or I should know how to get through this. What's wrong with me? And the truth is that none of us can really see the whole magnitude of our situation or problems on our own. It's just how the brain is working. It's not any flaw of any one person. It's just the brain doesn't allow us really to see, obviously they can't see the label from inside the jar. So a professional coach is somebody to give you perspective and to help you make the invisible visible. And I think also, too, when there are times when you are listening too much to that lizard brain, that little negative voice in your head that says, I'm not enough, I need more education, or I need to work harder, or the one that's beating you up, that's a great time for a coach, because that brain is not serving you. Those negative messages, they trick you into thinking that it's protecting you, that it's helping you grow, but it's not. It's actually holding you back. And to me, that's one of the beautiful parts that a coach can do, can really mirror those things and challenge you to think better about yourself so that you do better for yourself.
I love what you said. You can't see the label from the inside of the jar. I've never heard that before, and hopefully you'll let me use it some other time.
You go right ahead. I think I probably stole it from somebody else. It's not copyrighted, so use it.
It's
use
great.
It however you want.
I love it.
I wrote it down too immediately as soon as you said it. I went, "Oh my God, I love that.
Whoa.
That's great." Well, Bernie, thank
so
you for
true,
mentioning
right?
her. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning her blog, because Darcy has some really cool blogs. Darcy, how can people get on that list to get your blog?
So, I have an insider list. This is another one of my business strategies for my business, and I think that for a lot of coaches is to be able to have some kind of thing you commit to that's a regular, I think of it as a keep-in-touch strategy. And so that is my weekly email, but nobody wants more email. I don't call it an email. I call it my insider community. And that's my first group where I share anything that's happening and all of my new articles. And if someone goes to redcapeinsider.com, they can sign up for that free, and then every week in their inbox they get whatever the latest story and strategy is. And, my goal is that – it's not a big honking newsletter with a ton of ads or other junk. It's like a little love note from me to you, and hopefully, gives people a bit of encouragement, one new idea to try and maybe share with somebody else. And so redcapeinsider.com is how people can sign up for that for free.
And let me tell you what else Ms. Darcy's doing. Because she started something at the beginning of the year called Reboot Your Year. And it's still going on, and I listen to it every morning, actually. It's a little 5-minute, not even sometimes. Just a little tip, and I'll give you a hint on what that one was, drop a couple of balls and see what happens. See if anybody notices. And I said, if anybody needs to drop balls, it's me. And I did, and nobody noticed. And I said, oh, my gosh,
exactly.
Well, how clever. So tell us a little bit about Reboot Your Year.
Yeah, so the Reboot Your Year series, which is, it's a 28-day audio series, and again, you just sign up for free at redcapereboot.com, and it, and I've made these little under 5-minute audios. It's almost like a private podcast, but it lands straight in your inbox and email every day so that you just have to click and listen to it wherever you are, you know, whenever that you want. And each day there's just a little drip of kind of a an idea for encouragement. And I had done this actually at the beginning of the pandemic that I called Your Red Cape Career, because I was hearing from a lot of my readers during that crazy, crazy time that they just needed some more encouragement, needed to understand how they could take back control when everything around them seemed like it was out of control. And interestingly enough, a lot of the content in that first audio series turned into the latest book, Red Cape Rescue, including the drop some balls concept, which is one of the chapters in the book and has become incredibly popular and surprising to people who have always been taught, you know, to achieve and be successful, that we've just got to take on more and more and more. Well, you know, this is a great time to recognize that less can be more, and maybe we've got to take a hard look at all the balls that we're catching.
One of your blogs, and it seems right relevant today, how to fall back in love with your job. And over the years, you hear people saying, oh, you know, you really need to be passionate and love what you do. It's like not going to work. And I thought, gee, there's 200 million people working. That's a lot of BS. 200 million people aren't going to love their job. But when I saw this blog, I thought it was really relevant to today. I thought maybe just talk a little bit about how to fall back in love with your job.
Yeah, I worry that there is so much negativity about the term work or the idea of work, and yet I understand that the different people have different experiences, but there are sometimes when that we've let ourselves hear all this outside noise, and we don't let ourselves really appreciate what might be good in our work. I see this sometimes in working with teams, where the first thing on the agenda for the morning meeting is everything that's broken, everything that is not working, everything that's a problem, instead of recognizing all the good things that actually are there, the things that they've kept going, the things that are working well. You know, we don't talk about those things as much. We focus on the negative. And again, this is back to brain science, how the brain is built to focus on the negative. But so for somebody who maybe, you know, they're not ready for a new job, or you don't know, is a new job actually going to be any better than the old job, to really look at some of the ways you could fall back in love with your job. Like recognize, what's the people, who are the people that I work with? Like, you know, am I really appreciating them? Am I maximizing my time with them and what I can learn from them? Or being able to recognize, even if your job right now is just a paycheck to support your family, there's a place of putting your job in its place to recognize that and not giving everything to it if that's not the season of life that you're in. I do think we all change and shift like that. So, you know, I think there are definitely ways to fall back in love with your job, or at a minimum not get tempted in this doom and gloom, work is awful, and everybody's burned out and you know, we should all not work. I mean, I think we need to work. The world needs us. The world needs everything we bring.
It's interesting because that leads us to another blog that you, I guess is the insider message at least. And it said, okay, guys, you've been listening to me about loving your job, but I didn't mean for you all to quit in droves. It's like, and that's, I thought that was very funny. It's like, yeah, because Bernie and I talk about that. It's like, it's great that people are going, oh, this is, I want more out of my job. But it's like, where is everybody going to, how's everybody going to pay their rent if they keep quitting their job? So along those lines, what do you think is some of the biggest challenges that are facing us in today's market world of work?
I think one of the things, I alluded to it earlier with kind of the noise around work is hard, and we've always had this to some degree, it's not personal, it's just work, another day, another dollar, all these very Eeyore-esque kind of feelings about work. And yet there are people every day that are doing great things and getting lots out of the things that they're doing. But the difference is feeling that you're in control as opposed to being controlled. And I think we have, generally we defer our power. We think the company has power as opposed to I can choose what I think, I can choose what I say, I can choose what I do. And again, I know that in different populations there's different feelings of control, but right now we're in a market where we need people to work at all levels, and yet people are still having trouble, employers are having trouble finding people at all levels. And I know that there are people who got uncomfortable with all the changes and decided in their reflection, which reflection is terrific, to leave, but are now starting to find maybe they're having some regrets about that and, recognizing that maybe it wasn't a job. Maybe it was something in me that I need to figure out or something I need to decide. And again, those are places where a coach comes in great. I worry about some of the coaching profession that's all about tactics and strategies instead of really recognizing, hey, it's the whole person that comes to work, and what does that person need, and then how do they ask for it, how do they advocate for it, how do they choose their decisions and actions to get more of what they need and not what just they think is supposed to be.
It's got me to think. Recently I was contemplating what's going on in the workplace today, and I'm one of your blogs about the Great Resignation. I would love to hear a little bit of your thoughts on that. But I'm thinking, whenever I've heard CEOs or C-level executives saying, "Oh, it's hard to keep good people," I think there's probably something wrong with your leadership style, and that's probably why it's hard to keep your good people. What is going on with this? We see the headlines, the Great Resignation. People have got more power, I think, than they thought they had before. What are your thoughts on that? And love to hear that.
Yeah, well, if I had the perfect, crystal ball, I could tell you all the factors. But, I think there's been multiple factors that have all added up to it. I think the big thing that I am looking into and kind of watching is to what degree have we lost that ability for people to be uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable and stop at work. So for the opportunity for people to actually say, "Hey, I need a change for my for my personal situation." And I think your point is right that leadership. And I think we talk about leadership, we talk about companies in this macro, but leaders are people too. And there's actually, I think, in the Times or the Journal article recently about how many people at senior leader level are rethinking their roles and making changes. And I think we have to recognize that it's people who make decisions, not companies who make decisions. And so person to person, if we're not advocating for what we need or we're not making those connections, and a leader has a responsibility to lead people. Mm-hmm. You don't lead projects, you lead people.
Right.
And that's some of the hardest work, but it's probably the most important work right now.
Well, that sounds like I'd like to know a little bit more about your new book, Red Tape Rescue. Because I know you at the beginning of the year you said, wait, don't look forward so much. Look back. What did you learn? And so can you give us just a couple of ideas of what they'll find in Red Tape Rescue, your new book?
Red Tape Rescue.
How to rescue your job, yeah.
Right. The tagline is so important for that. It's save your career without leaving your job. Because I observe people thinking the old traditional thoughts that if something's gone wrong in my job, if I hit a speed bump, if something's not right, then my only option is to go find another job. And that's what we tell people, right? Oh, you don't like where you are? Go do something else. Instead of giving them the tools to take control. And so the book is broken down into three sections. It's, you know, it's revising what you think, resetting what you say, and rescuing what you do. And there's the mini chapters in it. You mentioned drops and balls. That's one of the chapters. There's a chapter on ask for what you need, you know, with scripts to be able to help you frame those asks and, you know, recognize that you might have more control right where you are than you think. And I think this applies to any situation where if we're thinking that it's the outside world that needs to change, maybe the easiest place or the most powerful place is to start with you on the inside. And that's really what Red Cape Rescue is all about.
And it's so interesting because most people that we meet, and I'm just generalizing, they listen to their friends, they listen to their family, who will tell them all those things that you just said, which aren't the right things to do, typically, right? So I always say to people, too, don't listen to yourself. That can be a problem also. I was interested in, as Lori mentioned before, in 2018 you joined the Forbes Coaches Council. What's that all about?
Yeah, so Forbes Coaches Council is just a group that is organized by Forbes that is a kind of a cohort group of people who, you know, people who have been vetted at certain levels to be participate with Forbes. It's given me some opportunities to publish in the publication, to meet some other people. There's several different opportunities out there like that for people, and I think we all have to evaluate what's the right group to get involved for us. What are the things that can help, you know, our business grow in the way that we want to? And I think it's always important to kind of look hard at who you want to be as a coach and the kind of people that you want to hang out with.
And I think your philosophy and your, I won't say teachings, I'll say your mindset, it kind of embraces the word revolution because it's not the standard advice that you're going to get. When I ask you about a plan for the future, you go, oh, I'm not interested in five-year plans. I'm interested in, and, you know, it's kind of like, no, let's do this a different way. So I want to make sure people know how to find you. I know that your website is redcaperevolution.com. And what are they going to find on there when they go?
So on redcaperevolution.com, you can join our insider community. And again, the shortcut for that is redcapeinsider.com. If you go on the blog, there's all my latest articles. There's a free tools section, and, you know, you can also find out more about my coaching and speaking. And of course, the new book. There's more details on the book at redcaperescue.com, and it's available on all the online booksellers, Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble, and all those, and Audible, too, and I recorded it myself.
Oh, wow. Fun. Okay. So what's on the horizon for you? Are you going to pick up more balls, or are you going to keep rolling the way you are?
I'm always evaluating what balls that I'm holding and which ones I'm dropping. So looking down the road at a potential TEDx talk, that's something that's, working on for this year, as well as just doing more work with companies tied to the Red Cape Rescue concepts to be able to help managers have better conversations, better career conversations with their people, and using some of the ways to help each person recognize how much control that they actually have. So those are a couple of things, plus my regular coaching with my awesome clients and getting to speak at different events for professional associations and companies all over the country.
Well, we love having you as a guest on our show, and I don't if we've got like less than a minute. Do you have a little bit of advice or a little bit of, or a tip or something you want to leave everybody with?
I think the biggest thing is no matter how you're feeling about your work, just remember somebody out there needs you, and that's the thing that gets you up, gets you moving. You may never know who that person is, but somebody needs you and the way that you bring your superpowers to work.
Wow, I love that. Okay, Dorsey, we're going to let you rest because I've had her on my television show this month, so we're going to leave you alone for this for the rest of this month. So we do want to thank you so much for being a guest on Coach Chat Radio. And Bernie,
thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Very high energy. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Okay, everybody, we'll see you again next month. Take care. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.